I'm going to talk to all of you, but I especially have in mind the children. But I've got a very grown-up text, and it's in a very grown-up book. It's in the letter to the Hebrews, and it's in chapter 9, and it's the last two verses. The letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, and verses 27 and 28. Ethan, what language is this written in? English, that's right. The real question's coming now. What language was it written in? Do you know? That's it. Thank you very much. It was originally written in Greek, and it's now in English. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Words are fascinating. I can't bear numbers, but words are fascinating. Of course, God loves both. He designed the world on mathematics, but he spoke a word and it came to pass. So he loves words and he loves numbers. But I can't add, I am no good with numbers. I know one or two of you are brilliant, but I like words. And do you see there's that word there, that word appointed. And as it is appointed. Now, the Greek word means to lay aside. So it can mean and does mean to finish with something, to put it away where it'll go rusty or go rotten. But it has another meaning, and that is to lay aside, like saving up your money in a piggy bank, like keeping all your savings, saving them up. And that's the meaning that's here. It's saved up for us to die. Sorry about that. But it is what the Lord says. And it is why sometimes we're ill. It's a little prelude to what will happen one day. But it is appointed, it's saved up for us that we will die. And that's something that God fixed right back in the earliest books, the book of the Bible in Genesis, way back when Adam sinned. He must have been very cross with Adam. You're dust. I made you out of the dust. And you're going to finish back in the dust. Oh, I wouldn't have liked to have heard him say that, really, if I had been Adam. Dust. Dust thou art. And to dust thou shalt return. And in saying that to Adam, he says it to all of us who are descended from Adam. When it says here, it's appointed to men once to die, the girls mustn't start thinking, oh, I'm all right then. Because when it says that word, it's appointed to men once to die, it means men in the sense of the human race. Boy or girl, grown-up boy into a teenager, and a grown-up girl into a teenager, and a really grown-up boy into a man, and a past it grown-up boy into a granddad. And the same for the ladies on their side. When it says that it's saved up for us, it's appointed to men, it's appointed to people, boys and girls, men and women, old men and old women. It's appointed to men once to die. When God said to Adam that he would die. It was a mysterious word. Nothing had ever died. Nothing had ever died. What was this? It sounded sinister. It sounded with foreboding. It sounded terrible. But what was it? No one had died. And do you remember that the Lord killed animals? The Lord did it. Animals that were innocent, in order to close Adam and Eve, but also to show them what death is like. Some of you will have seen dead animals, and it makes you shudder a little bit, and it's a bit gooey and gory. And it's meant to be. It's meant to warn us of something that's in the future. We can't do anything about dying, but we can do something that will be very helpful. We'll come to that. It is appointed unto men once to die. Well, we only die once. At least what Hebrews is talking about. That we will die on a certain, definite occasion. Other people will be driving up the road, other people will be piloting their planes, other people will be going on holiday and singing on the beach or playing on the beach. I meant swimming, not singing. Swimming on the beach. Other people will be doing all the enjoyable things, but we will be dying that day perhaps. It does seem odd in a way. I remember coming out of hospital one day with two parents whose little boy had died of cancer. And it seemed odd to them, and it even seemed odd to me, but in theory I knew that the world was just carrying on. Nobody's taking any notice. They knocked into you, they bustled by you, they walked round. As you came out of the Great Ormond Street Hospital in London, it's a busy place. But everybody else was carrying on the same as if nothing had happened. But their little boy had died. But the world will carry on when we die. It's appointed to men once to die. That day is appointed by God. It's saved up. It's fixed. There's a definite day. He's got it all worked out. We don't all live the same many days. We don't all do the same things. And then there's a great but. As it is appointed to men once to die, oh, I suppose that's all right. We won't know anything after we died, will we? But after this, the judgment. I suppose you all like exams. I'm sure you all like exams. I didn't ever like exams. And I didn't like especially tests that were sprung on you. You know, when the master at school would come in, and you're expecting a French lesson or something else, and he put his book on the table with a bang, we're going to have a test today. You've had no chance to revise, you've had no chance to remember what you've done, no chance to think about it. It's purely a test on where you are at that moment, good or bad. And Judgment Day is like that. Examined on what we've done. What we've said, before we said it, what we thought, what we did, why we did it, all these things will be investigated. It's appointed once to die, but after this, the judgment. So God is prepared to wake us all up again from death to face judgment. That's a bit. Bit much to think about, isn't it? After this, the judgment. Because judgment has another sense too in a court of law. It's the day when all the evidence has been given in the court and the decision is made as to whether guilty or not guilty. So Judgment Day isn't only an unfolding of all that we've ever done or thought in the presence of God. It's all unraveled, it's all brought back, it's all written there in the Lord's book. I would think the younger generation ought to understand this better than any generation gone before, because with your knowledge of computers and such like, you know that storing and retrieving is not so difficult as earlier generations thought. All that we've ever done can easily be stored and as easily retrieved by God. And then he will make his judgment on our lives. I've missed out one particular word in that first verse. And it's a little two-letter word. Actually, there's three little two-letter words in the first line of the verse. But the word is as. As it is appointed. It is appointed to men to die once, and after that the judgment. But as that is the case, so something else is true. As it is the case that it's appointed to us once to die, and after that the judgment, so God has done something else. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Of course, there is no chance for us. If it actually gets to that stage where we die and where we face the judgment of God and our sins are unforgiven, we won't be able to appeal. We won't be able to put it right. Too late. It is a wonderful thing that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was given to help us because of that awful possibility. Jesus said to some people who were all against him, and he was the only saviour, he said, you will die in your sins. And it is a terrible thing to die in our sins. But because of this awful possibility, because we're appointed to die, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Well, let's think what that means. So, we're following the story in The Jungle Doctor of a boy who's listening to the stories that are being told. And he's been in hospital to make his eyes better, but he wants to find how his sins can be got rid of. That's the desperate thing he's trying to find out. And he's learning all about the different sorts of sin, and so many of them agree with his own heart. He knows about them. So Christ came to bear sin. That's why he came. If you know that there are sins in your life, that if you were suddenly to die, you would die in your sins, and that could be never put right, what the Bible says here is very important for you. Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. Now, when it says many, it means not all. Many is not the same as everybody. So they could be two brothers, or a brother and a sister, or they could be two friends. All of them sinners. But one doesn't want to die in sin. But the other doesn't care. One comes to Christ to find out what it means by his bearing sin. The other doesn't bother. It's terribly important that we are one of those who seek to ask the Lord Jesus about bearing sins. It's not a difficult idea, not difficult at all. You know what it's like to carry a load. And I think it's even scientifically true that a load gets heavier the tireder you get. Not that the load actually gets heavier, but your response to it being tireder makes it seem heavier. And if you're young, it would be very sensible if you're out on a walk to say to Dad, it's chafing my shoulder, it's making me sore, load is getting too heavy, I'm not enjoying the walk, will you take my rucksack? Probably, unless Dad's not feeling very well or he's hurt his knee or his leg or something. It's nothing to Dad to add that load to his load, no problem at all. But it was misery to you. Relief it is when you've handed it over. He's bearing your rucksack. You're not. And it soon feels so much better. It's not chafing your shoulder. You haven't got the weight. It's not pulling on your neck. You can suddenly run, whereas before you were struggling behind everybody. But you've let go and given it. In this case, I imagine today. And that's what it means that Christ came to bear our sin. He came to take from us the burden of our sin. Now, the great burden of sin, of course, is the guilty conscience. You don't need to explain what a guilty conscience is. You know when you have gone against the law of God. You know when you've done something your parents said you don't do, shouldn't do. You know when you've done it. And if you've got away with it, you actually don't get away with your conscience. Your conscience is still aware that there's something unconfessed that you've done. They don't know about, but you know about. It's a bit miserable. But as it's appointed to us to die, and then there's a judgment, the Lord Jesus has been appointed. He's been offered to bear our sins. I think you know it in theory, that when he came once to bear our sins on Calvary, he came to take our sin away from us. We repented of our sins, which is saying we want to get rid of them. We don't want them to burden us anymore. We want to turn away from them. But by that act all those years ago, but we may still come to the Lord Jesus because he's risen from the dead. And we may come to him and ask him to bear our sins. He paid for it with his life. I think we would feel, if he took our sins away, that his life was rather special and we didn't want to let him down. As it is appointed to men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Then he adds a little something afterwards. And unto them that look for him. You know what it's like to miss somebody? To be looking for them. I mean, in a funny sort of way, we have it here. We try to look out for people who we think might miss the road when they're coming here, if they've not been here before. So we go out or we keep an eye open there to look for them. And those who love the Lord Jesus look for him. They want him to come back. He's going to come back one day to this world. And they look for him. They're expecting him. They're wanting him. They're longing for him. And he will come again a second time. There'll be a second coming, that's what this verse says. he'll come again. Only this time, he won't be bearing other people's sins. He has no sin of his own, of course. He won't come about to be hung upon a cross. He won't become humiliated. He'll come in triumph. He'll return in heaven. And when he comes, that will be the final salvation. It will be the end of this world's history. This world will be transformed. All who are alive then, who believe in him, shall be gathered up to meet him, and then the world shall be destroyed. But here's this tremendous picture. It's so much. It is appointed to us to die. One. And after that, the judgment. But after that, the judgment. That's the significant thing. But because of that, Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. You can understand that. Then he will appear. We'll look for him. We'll be excited to see him. And this time he'll come in triumph and take all his people to be with him in glory forever. This was written some years after the Lord Jesus had gone to heaven. And it was written to challenge people. You yourself have to make up your mind. Do I want to be rid of my sin? Is it that important to me? This is a serious business. The Lord Jesus died a terrible death to pay the price of sin. Your need of getting rid of your sin must be something like as serious, because it doesn't happen. I trust that there will come a time in your life, we hope sooner rather than later, but that there will come a time in your life when you'll want to get rid of your sin more than anything else in the world, and when the Lord Jesus will take those sins, make you know that you really belong to him, and that you're his and he is yours, and you will serve him all the days of your life. It's not so difficult to understand, even one of the most difficult books and some of the most advanced words. The Lord bless us in that way. Now we're going to sing. It's a nice hymn to sing, but supposing you ask the Lord to pardon you and to deliver you from your sin, you would then be able to say without any reservation, I found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. Let's sing this hymn.